Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' 2016 fourth quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular dated April 16, 2015, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on February 14, 2017. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Steve Parry, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for participating in today's call. I'm joined today by Dominic Rao, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday afternoon, we released our 2016 fourth quarter and year-end financial results, which can be found on our website at grenvillesrc.com. We continue to make progress on our plans to return the portfolio to a growth trajectory that generates significant cash flow. We believe that with the operating cost reductions we implemented this year and the conservative approach we continue to ascribe to both contract buyouts and underperforming investments in the portfolio, this will position us to exit 2017 stronger than 2016. Let's begin with the balance sheet. Certain investments within the portfolio continue to experience a deterioration in their financial condition, which has impacted their ability to pay royalties. We reduced the fair value of those investments, which is a non-cash charge, by $7.8 million in the quarter. We want to emphasize that these fair value reductions are largely within the industrial, low revenue growth part of the portfolio. As we have previously reported, our detailed rethink of our investment strategy refocused the team on investments where high growth, recurring or predictable revenues, and the ability to raise third-party outside capital are strong. These characteristics generally correlate with more technology-based enterprises. You can see the first evidence of this revised strategy in the investments made this quarter and in the return performance of the portfolio segment bearing these criteria, which I will be describing shortly. As a result of the refocus, the pipeline of new opportunities that we review has never been stronger. We completed three investments using the joint venture strategy we announced in Q4, including two new investments and one follow-on investment. Moving to the income statement, we have implemented a disciplined approach towards operating costs, right-sizing our cost structure to maximize cash flow generation. Excluding one-time items and extraordinary measures, the portfolio continued to generate cash in the quarterly and annual periods, despite weakness in the retail and industrial investments. Our royalty model is quite simple. Our investments translated to free cash flow from royalties and contract buyouts. Therefore, the key question is, does the portfolio generate cash, given that free cash flow was reported as negative $170,000 in Q4 and negative $268,000 for fiscal 2016. While our cash flow was slightly negative as reported, results were impacted by one-time items during the annual period, including the $675,000 payment to the former CEO and the $156,000 withholding tax expensed in Q4. Short-term working capital differences also impacted free cash flow, with the $500,000 in bonuses paid in February that were accrued and expensed in 2015, and $600,000 of 2015 sales tax paid in 2016. Net of these one-time non-recurring items and the timing differences, we are quite confident in the ability of the portfolio to generate positive free cash flow on an ongoing basis, as illustrated in January 2017, where we generated $50,000 in free cash flow. To that point, as of February 13, We anticipate royalty payment income and interest income of approximately $500,000 for the month of January against monthly operating costs of approximately $225,000 on a run rate basis. On a simple basis, those are the primary components that drive our cash flow metrics, which is why we're so confident in the business model. And that's cash flow with no consideration for contract buyouts. As discussed in the prior quarter, we see strong opportunity for up to $9 million in buyouts, with $5 million possibly received in Q1 2017, and the balance spread through the remainder of the year. The probability of contract buyouts has improved since our last report, and we remain confident this will be a significant source of capital for new investments in 2017. Next, I want to update you on portfolio return performance in the context of our go-forward strategy. On our website each quarter, we provide a presentation describing the business and the year-end results. Each quarter, we provide guidance on portfolio lifetime investment return. For year-end 2016, the investment return declined to 8.5% from 17.6% in Q3, largely related to the reduced portfolio value. There is, however, a very important point in this return data. While total portfolio return declined, the return on the part of the portfolio that relates to our go-forward strategy returned 47.4% to year-end. Much of this return relates to the contract buyouts to date, where five of the six buyouts, that's WMODE, Innovix, Above Security, Fortel, and Plytech, were all investments consistent with the new criteria. Only the DS handling investment was part of the more industrial part of the portfolio. We think this differentiation is material and significant and underscores why we made the decision to shift focus. This subset is also the part of the portfolio consistent with our JV partner investments and illustrates the rationale for those joint ventures. We are very encouraged by the increase in deal flow related to the new focus. We have approximately $6.4 million of cash as of February 13, of which we have allocated $3.4 million for new investments. However, with contract buyouts, the cash available to invest could increase to up to $8.1 million. We made three investments during the quarter, all three of which included co-investments from our joint venture partners, ForGrowth and Darwin. In total, $1.4 million was invested across the three opportunities, consisting of approximately $710,000 from Grenville and $355,000 from each of our two JV partners. Factor 75 is a subscription-based personalized chef service which brings together dietary consideration and fitness levels. The business is based out of Chicago. eScribe Software is a cloud-based software as a service solution that provides back-office meeting and process solutions to organizations. Its primary marketplace is municipalities. A great way to think of it is as an automated county clerk, providing a streamlined process and archival capabilities to support their role at the municipality. The final investment was a follow-on in Expert Homes, meant to support the tremendous growth they are experiencing servicing construction in First Nations communities. With respect to ongoing deal flow, at this stage last year, we were reviewing 20 to 30 deals per month. In the past several months, that number has grown to 60 to 70 deals per month on a consistent basis. The quality of the deals has also improved. We're seeing more competition from VCs and other investors, which speaks to that point. We don't win every deal, which reflects our discipline. If we win every time, then we're pricing them too cheaply or selecting uncompetitive companies, but we're winning our fair share. What has become more clear than ever is that our model is attractive to sophisticated management teams that appreciate the true cost of capital is not just the coupon. It also includes the security and the personal guarantees that you have to accept to get that lower coupon. When we deal with management teams that are reviewing multiple term sheets, we get frequent validation of our original thesis that unsecured capital, priced appropriately, is very attractive. We tend to lose deals where management has not previously experienced the liability of security or personal guarantees, or where the equity has been acquired at such a high price as to be prohibitive to all other forms of capital. Our model is particularly attractive to teams where a past sale of a business has occurred. They appreciate the full cost of equity capital, where our structure could have helped them achieve the same sale with better concentration among the shareholders than the equity alternatives. With the support of our JV partners, we expect to deploy capital on a consistent pace throughout the course of 2017 at a rate of approximately 1 to 3 new deals per month. Our pipeline is strong, and we have identified a number of attractive opportunities to deploy cash from our balance sheet or the proceeds from any potential future contract buyouts alongside the capital available for co-investment from our JV partners. With that, I'll turn it over to Donica to review the financial results.
Thank you, Steve. Royalty payment income was $1.6 million and $8 million in Q4 and fiscal 2016, respectively, compared to $2.4 million and $8.3 million in the same periods in 2015. The change in the quarterly period is primarily due to approximately $850,000 in royalty payment income not recognized for 10 investments which have not paid any royalties for at least 3 months. Royalty payment income is the primary driver of revenue. Revenues were negative $5.6 million and negative $7.9 million in Q4 and fiscal 2016, respectively, compared to $1 million and $12.1 million in the same periods last year. The change in the quarterly period is because of the $7.8 million in unrealized loss from a change in the fair value of the portfolio that Steve referenced earlier. This was partly offset by a $570,000 unrealized gain in foreign exchange. We also recorded $2.4 million in contract buyouts in Q4 2015 compared to zero in the same period for 2016. Total operating expenses were $1 million and $4.6 million in Q4 and fiscal 2016 respectively, compared to $1.5 million and $3.4 million for the same periods last year. The change in the quarterly period is primarily due to $475,000 of employee bonus expense included in the Q4 2015 period, which was partially offset by $156,000 in withholding taxes expensed in Q4 2016, which Steve mentioned above. We estimate operating expenses to run between $2.4 million and $3 million on an annual basis going forward, or $200,000 to $250,000 on a monthly basis. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $699,000 and $4.2 million in Q4 and fiscal 2016, respectively, compared to $4.2 million and $10.8 million in the same periods last year. The change in the quarterly period was primarily due to the $2.4 million contract buyouts in 2015, as well as the decrease in royalty payment income of $800,000 and the withholding taxes in 2016, each of which I referenced earlier. Free cash flow was negative $170,000 and negative $268,000 in Q4 and fiscal 2016, respectively, compared to $3.7 million and $7.3 million in the same periods last year. The change during the quarterly period is because of the $2.4 million contract buyouts and realized foreign exchange gains of $700,000 in 2015, the lower royalty payment income of $800,000, and the $1.1 million short-term working capital differences mentioned earlier. As of February 13, 2017, we believe royalty payment income and interest income for the month of January will be approximately $500,000, which equates to approximately $250,000 in adjusted EBITDA and $50,000 in free cash flow for January. We made aggregate payments of $442,000 in dividends for the month of October prior to suspending the dividend. This is the final period for which we'll report various non-IFRS measures. In our 2017 first quarter report, we intend to streamline our communication to focus on the primary key matrix. Average royalty payment per million investment was $116,000 for the month of December 2016. The rolling 12-month average royalty payment per million investors, including buyouts, was $172,000 for the period ended December 31, 2016. As Steve mentioned, there were some disappointing developments in some investee companies that adversely impacted their capability to pay a royalty, and as a result, we have reduced the value of the investment carried in the financial statements. As a result, the value of the portfolio was reduced by $7.8 million, primarily due to these investments. 57% of our investment portfolio has generated returns equal to or in excess of 25% pricing level at the end of Q4. As of December 31, the portfolio performance consists of 1% bought out, 18% above target, 38% on target, 29% off target, and 14% recorded as a loss. As at December 31, 2016, the promissory notes and royalty agreements acquired were $64.1 million, an increase of $6.9 million from the end of 2015. Working capital was $10 million, and our cash position was $6.2 million. I will now turn it back over to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Donica. Our structure at Grenville is quite simple. It's a cash-on-cash business model, and we like cash businesses. Since our inception, we have invested $64 million, and those investments have returned $33.3 million cash and generated more than $8 million in free cash flows. But speaking plainly, it hasn't been an easy year. We endured a number of challenges from management restructuring, the fair value reductions in the portfolio, and the suspension of the dividend. But each of these decisions was taken with the purpose of establishing a stronger base from which to grow the portfolio and generate cash. We right-sized the business through disciplined cost reductions. We implemented IFRS accounting procedures that provide a more accurate reflection of the portfolio. We secured two well-funded JV partners to scale our investments while diversifying across a broader range of opportunities. We have a number of investments that are strong contract bio candidates in 2017, and we possess a strong pipeline of high-quality investment opportunities in which to redeploy the capital we earn from our investments. In short, we have set a course to exit 2017 in a much stronger position than 2016. Finally, as we reported in the earnings release, I've canceled my 1 million share option award. As one of the largest shareholders in the company, I wanted to make sure we have sufficient options to incentivize our team, the real core of the shareholder's asset, and to have sufficient capability to incentivize new team members in the future. I would like to thank our shareholders for the commitment and patience they've demonstrated as we execute our growth-focused strategy. At this time, we'd now like to take your questions. Operator?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile our roster. And your first question comes from the line of David Quezada with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys. I guess my first question, I'm wondering what your early experience has been with under the co-investment partnership model, any changes to the due diligence or observations on how that process has been going so far?
We've been extremely pleased with the JV process. Certainly having other people looking at each deal is a benefit, but most importantly, what drives great joint venture success is the ability of multiple parties to act efficiently on transactions. So that's really one of the key measures. David, I think you and I have probably talked. A lot of my background came out of the mining industry, where joint venture strategy is a huge part of the business. I couldn't be more pleased with the way this is working with both For Growth and Darwin. I'm hoping they would see it the same way. We have quite, I would say, well-designed processes for evaluating and managing deals. They are intimately familiar with our deal flow pipeline and comment and contribute to it on a regular basis. I think the whole team would say we feel even stronger about the value of doing this than we did when we first conceived the idea back in Q3. So it's been a really positive piece of the puzzle.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. Is there any situation where you, Granville, on a standalone basis would still go ahead with an investment, I guess, just on their own, or is it going to be exclusively the partnership model going forward?
The joint venture is written as each joint venture partner has a 25% investment right, but it is conceivably possible they may not wish to invest in the deal. We might wish to invest in the deal. It's also possible that could flow in the other direction. So we've left it to be quite flexible. Thus far, we've basically all invested alongside. I expect you will see occasional occasions where that will be slightly different ratios, depending on folks' availability of capital and the nature of the deal. I would say that would be the criteria that will govern that.
Okay, great. And then just my last question. Of the couple investments, I guess, that went into bankruptcy proceedings, do you have any expectation of potentially recovering anything there?
Yes, we do. We, in fact, have position in as senior security on one of the transactions where we do expect to receive capital back, and that would be, we think, part of a Q1 event likely.
Okay, great. Perfect. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a few moments to compile our roster. And again, that's the star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have no questions in the queue at this time. I will turn the call back over to the presenters.
Well, thanks very much, everyone. We're looking forward quite a bit to our Q1 results. We do think, as we've signaled, there's some real opportunity for contract buyouts. And as you can imagine, it does not take very much success with the contract buyout part of our revenue stream to have very, very significant impacts on our outcomes. So, you know, this is a big focus for management team here, and we're looking forward to getting some of that to happen during 2017 Q1. Many thanks for the call today.
Thank you to everyone. This will conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.